This is Tony Broom Ministries, welcoming you for the following Bible teaching session entitled United Kingdom Divided. Israel had enjoyed a united kingdom under the rule of David and Solomon. This was the closest thing to the kingdom of Christ which is to come. Israel experienced prosperity under the reign of King David and King Solomon. The nation was blessed. God had said that Israel did not need a king. They have rejected their God, that I should not reign over them, he said. So God's ultimate will was that he would be the one to reign over Israel. But if you had to have a king, let it be someone like David, and then of course Solomon. David was anointed. He was a king and a man after God's heart. Solomon was anointed too, but he was blessed. Solomon had the opportunity to be the one who would build the temple. And he was the one who not only built the temple, but he was prosperous. He was used to show just how much God could bless the people of Israel, the nation of Israel. And so the kingdom was united under King David and under Solomon. Judah and Israel together, sometimes called Ephraim. And that's happy, happy, happy. Celebrate this united kingdom. Solomon, David were blessed by the Lord. Israel, the Bible talks about it. As far as the sand is of the sea, as wide as the ocean, God blessing Israel. They had peace during their days. That's the good time. That's the celebration. That's the honeymoon of the kingdom. Now we're talking about something that puts a little more sad and taken away from the glad. I don't want to make you sad this time, but we got to talk about this kingdom that was united and now divided. The united kingdom divided. God's people seek the Lord rather than evil counsel. The Lord always prospers a person. He always prospers a government. He always prospers a kingdom. But evil counsel takes away from the blessings of God. Slowly and surely, evil counsel got into the things of the kingdom. Solomon began to be blessed exceedingly and abundantly, and his wisdom was outstanding. Everybody from all over the earth would come to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Kings came. Common people came. Everybody came. They would bring their treasures and gifts of silver and gold. People would come to Solomon from all over the world to hear his wisdom that God had put in his heart. He wrote psalms, and he wrote proverbs, and he wrote songs, and things that would just be beyond human reasoning and wisdom, because it was not human wisdom. It was the wisdom of God. And so I really want to paint a pretty picture this time about this wonderful kingdom that God had given them. God said, if you put me first, you seek me first, and you do the things which I say, even though I didn't want you to have a king, if you'll do what I say, I'll bless you as a nation. And God proved it during the reigns of David and Solomon. And now, slowly but surely, Solomon begins to join himself to people that were not right with God. People didn't know God. He made affinity with other nations and married strange wives, and they brought in idol worship, all these false gods. So we see now that the kingdom that God had given to Israel as a united kingdom is now going to be a divided kingdom. Our golden text is Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You are blessed if you do not walk after the counsel of the ungodly. You do not do what they say. You do not think like they think. Blessed is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel of the ungodly is opposite from what the counsel of the righteous is. We who love the Lord, we're not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners. We don't stand for what they stand for. We don't believe in what they believe in. We don't act like what they act, and we don't walk after their ways, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The scornful says, aha, I knew it wasn't going to work out. Everything's going to be bad. Nothing's going to be good. Everything's going to get worse and worse. The scornful never has any hope, never has any good to say about anybody or anything. They scorn everything. And you cannot be blessed if you live that way. So God is saying to us today and to this special session here about this kingdom, you cannot be blessed if you live a life that's separate from God's law. Evil counsel will divide the kingdom. And that's what happened here. 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. So God was angry with King Solomon. And he told him, because you have forsaken the Lord, you've turned away from the Lord will also rend the kingdom away from you. He'll give it to your neighbor, to somebody you don't like, somebody who has evil intentions. But God said, I will not do it in your days. I will do it in your son's days. God had promised to give a light, a lamp, to David always, because David walked in the ways of God. And God promised to bless David and to bless Jerusalem because of David, to give them a tribe always and a light in Jerusalem. That's the way God expressed it. I will give them a light always in Jerusalem. And we better thank God for that, because Jerusalem is the hope of Israel and the hope of the world. So Rehoboam takes the kingdom, and he asks the people to go and come again to him in 3 days so that he will know what to tell them. And he takes counsel with the old men that came up, and Solomon came up before him. And he asked them, what do you think? These people are saying, make our load lighter. Help us. Relieve us. Take some of the stress off of us. And the old men counseled him and said, if you be good to this people, if you speak kindly to them and you understand them, they'll be your servants forever. And he takes counsel with the younger men that came up with him. And he said, this is what the old guys say. What do you say about it? And they said, no, man, you need to not say that. You need to answer these people and say, if you think my father was something, you just wait till I get a hold of you. I'll be rougher. If my father chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scorpions. And so this is what happened. 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men's counsel that they gave him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. My father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. And there's some of the accounts even say, he said things like, if you think my father was something, you wait till I take the kingdom. My little finger will be thicker than my father's loins. Boy, he was boasting and bragging and stocky and cocky. That's the way young folks are. And he thought that he would just take this and run with it and rule. And they rebelled against it. They rebelled against him. They wouldn't have it, because Solomon had ruled in wisdom and God had blessed him. And the people were happy. They were enjoying the blessings of God. But when celebration became servitude, and there's a sermon I preached about that. You can search the audio on the YouTube channel. You can find it. When celebration becomes servitude, their celebration, they enjoyed the blessings of God. But now it has become servitude. They're under burdens. They're having a hard time serving the king. They're having a hard time producing the goods that they've always produced. And his wisdom now turns to be a weapon against them. And he forsook God, forsook the things of God. And that's why the blessings of God could no longer be upon them. So God cannot bless them like he did before. And we can learn a lesson from it now. He says to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We have to put God first. So Rehoboam, he forsakes the old men's counsel. The old men, sometimes they don't give you good counsel, but most of the time, if you listen to the old folks, you'll have it made. But if you listen to these young chaps that are around, you're going to lead yourself to destruction. And that's what happened to King Rehoboam. Verse 19, so Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Evil counsel divided the kingdom. And that's what happens. If you have evil counsel in a government, it will do the same thing. If you have evil counsel and you listen to it in the church, it will divide the church. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to send forth an evil counselor and divide the things of God. This person who ended up taking over the kingdom of Israel was a man by the name of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And this Jeroboam drove Israel into sin and idol worship, of which they never recovered. The northern kingdom, Ephraim, Israel, never recovered. Divided loyalties. This is 1 Kings 21, 1 and 2. And this is about a man named Manasseh. Manasseh was born to Hezekiah. God told Hezekiah, I will spare your life. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will defend and deliver this city, Jerusalem. Well, that sounds good. But he would have been better off if he had gone home and been with the Lord, turned his face, not wept, and turned his face to the wall and cried, and God spared him and gave him 15 more years. But during that 15 years, there was this fool child born, this hell raiser named Manasseh. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. Now, 55 years is a long time. He was one of the most long ruling and reigning kings. He had time to be blessed. He had time to lead the children of Israel into the great blessing, and Judah probably could have united the kingdom perhaps again, but he didn't do it. He was wicked. He was wicked in the sight of the Lord. His mother's name was Hephzibah. They give the mother's name a lot of times. Poor old mom, I'm sure she had a lot of heartache and heartbreak. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. His sins were so grotesque and so bad that we hardly don't even really want to talk about them. And I confess to you today, this is a sad time in Israel. It's a sad time. And it speaks to us in America and the nations of the world. We're living in sad times today. I know we're people of faith. We have joy in the Holy Ghost and joy unspeakable and full of glory. And we rejoice in Jesus and rejoice in our salvation. And we're looking forward to the glory of God, and we enjoy the blessings of God, and all that's true. We're living in a trash can right now. We're living in a world that is turning further and further away from God, and a world that, as Hattie Hammond said, Sister Hattie Hammond, a world that's going further and further into darkness. Darkness seems to be overtaking the earth, and it's the work of the evil one, the work of the devil. It's not God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. But the evil one is intent on destroying everything and everybody he can in God's creation. So here's Manasseh. He was a disappointment. He was a disgrace. He raised up altars for Baal. He worshiped the host of heaven, the sun and the moon, built altars for them in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Building these evil altars in the courts of the Lord's house. He made his son pass through the fire, observed times, used enchantments. He dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger, even setting up a graven image idol in the house of the Lord. Can you imagine the abomination of setting up an idol, graven image, in the house of the Lord? He shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. This is indeed a time when the loyalties of the nation were tested. Do you always have people that's a remnant? You will always have a remnant who love God and stay true to God. But you have this other crowd who will follow after the liberal leader, and people always are there to follow him or her or whoever it is. From chapter 22, verses 1 and 2, tells us about a ray of sunshine. His grandson, Manasseh, had Ammon, and Ammon reigned. And then after Ammon was a chip off the old block. Amon did the same thing that Manasseh did. He followed in the footsteps of the evil that his father did. He worshipped his father's idols. He did what his father did, and that was not a good thing. And then comes Josiah. Josiah, somehow or another, this proves that you don't have to do what your fathers did. You don't have to do the evil they do. You don't have to do the sins that they did. God can speak to you individually. It's not a generational curse. It's not that the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. God said you can't say that anymore. Every man will have to stand or be put to death for his own sin. So Josiah was a spark of fresh air, a breath of fresh air, a spark of revival in Israel and Jerusalem and Judah. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. Here was a man that found the ways of God, and he ran after God. He sought God with all of his heart and did his best to rid idol worship out of Judah and Jerusalem especially. And as much as he could influence Israel, he tried his best to rid them of the idol worship. Chapter 23, verse 25, "And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Neither after him arose there any like him." Here was Josiah. He found a book of the law that was read to him, and he sent to the prophetess, saying, "Oh, the wrath of God is upon us. Have mercy on us. What shall we do?" She sent back word and said, "God will judge this place. God will bring evil and wrath upon this place. But because you have sought me and you have wept before me, he will not do it in your days." So there was mercy. There was reprieve given to Israel. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him withal. There were things that Manasseh prayed. He ended up praying, and God heard his prayer. But he had done so much evil. He had caused so much bloodshed. He had caused so much idol worship to be spread that it didn't just go away. And you and I can learn from that. If you sin against God, if you come face to face with God and you say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I realize that I have sinned and come short. I realize that if I don't get right with God, I'm going to die and go to hell." God will forgive you. He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He will treat you as though you'd never sinned. And all your sin can be washed away. But we've got to realize that the longer we stay in sin, the further we go in sin, the more entwined and entangled we get involved in evil and sin. God can forgive you just like the snap of a finger, just like that. But it takes so long to get away from all of the things of sin that you've done, all of these circumstances, all the consequences of sin that are against us, the loyalties. Some people had the heart of Manasseh, were wicked against God. Some people have the heart of Josiah, one who wants to seek the face of God. Downfall of Israel and Judah. This is what finally happened. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 5. "Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. Now, he's fighting against Israel, the northern kingdom, many times known as Ephraim. Verse 22 and 23, "For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said, by all his servants, the prophets." God did his best to speak to Israel. He prophesied to them. He sent his prophets to them to try to get them to turn back, but they would not turn around. Once idol worship was introduced into Israel under Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, this northern kingdom, they never had a good king. Now, some of the southern kingdom, Judah, Jerusalem, some of their kings were better than others. But the northern kingdom never had a good king. And once they set up these golden calves to worship, they never recovered. Israel, the northern kingdom, never recovered. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. That should have been a lesson for Judah, but they didn't turn around either. At first, they were true to God, but little by little, that same evil one, that same evil counsel got a hold of them. 2 Chronicles now, 36, verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. Now the same things are happening to Judah and Jerusalem that happened in Israel. And even worse, because here's where the house of the Lord was. Here's where the sacrifices and the temple and everything was there with the Lord. They had a chance to save themselves, but they forsook the Lord. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes, many times, and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. God tried everything he could to save them, but there was no remedy. You can go too far. You can, as the old saying says, you can cross over God's deadline. You can sin away your day of grace. You can sin away your, certainly, time of opportunity. You can turn that hourglass one time too many, and you won't have the opportunity to repent. You will not have the opportunity to turn around and get right with God. You have the opportunity right now. So the best thing to do is to make sure that you're right with God now, so you won't have to face the awful wrath and torture and trouble that God will send upon this world. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary. It didn't matter whether it was in the church house or not, he killed them, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He didn't care what kind of condition they were in. He didn't care whether they were sick. He didn't care whether they were old. He didn't care whether they were children. He had no mercy at all. He slew them with the sword. He gave them all, that is, the Lord gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and of his princes, all these brought he to Babylon. He took them all away. What a disgrace to have these beautiful things in this wonderful, beautiful temple, the house of God, and now all this stuff's being carried away to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia. God had said, because you have transgressed against me, you have turned against me, you have forsaken me, you burned incense unto other gods, poured out drink offerings unto the queen of heaven, you have done everything to provoke me to anger. There's no more remedy. You'll go away into captivity, just like Israel went into captivity to Assyria. You're going into captivity back to Babylon. And they went into Babylonian captivity. And they stayed there to fulfill the words of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. God said, you have sinned against me. I've given you this land. This is the promised land of milk and honey. But now it will lay desolate. It will enjoy her Sabbaths, because you sinned against me, and it did not have any peace while you dwelt upon it. The land and enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. God said, you will have to stay there for 70 years, and at the end of 70 years, you'll be returned and brought back again to your land. A sad time, brothers and sisters. The United Kingdom should have been united, but now it's divided. and America has known the blessings of God. We have been united in what is called the United States of America. But now we're divided. America, as a whole, has not continued to worship the same God that she worshiped when they came over here. When our forefathers came, the pilgrims came to separate themselves from the Church of England so that they could worship God, not just any God, but the God, the only one and true living God, so that they could worship God according to the dictates of their heart, the way that he dictated to them from his word. And they came to set forth, as President Lincoln said, on this continent, a free nation. And they came and God blessed them. God's blessings was upon our nation because we served the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We served Israel's God. But the more that we get away from God, just like Israel, we're going to face the judgment of God. We, in some measure, even now as a nation, are facing the judgment of God. God's grace door is still open. Tribulation period hasn't come yet because the rapture has not taken place yet. But we are judging ourselves. We are seeing our children fall in the streets. We are seeing looting. We're seeing stealing. We're seeing killing. We're seeing people that have no feelings. They don't know how to deal with each other. They don't know whether to speak to each other or not. You cannot hug someone. You cannot shake someone's hand. You don't know how to approach or deal with another person. It's almost like we're all strangers in a familiar land. And that's the way it is when you turn against God. When you seek evil counsel, there's only one remedy for you, and there's no remedy but judgment and wickedness. God has a plan for his people, and God has a plan for America. He has blessed us all along, and there are people in America who love God. There are people in Israel who love God. God will bring the remnant of Israel to him as a nation again. Israel began to have, under Solomon's reign, and especially Rehoboam and on down the line, they began to have what we will call Israel's trouble. The psalmist said, O Lord, redeem Israel from all his troubles. And then the psalmist even said, God will redeem Israel out of all his troubles. But Israel has more trouble to go through yet. They have what we call Jacob's great trouble. They will have to face the great tribulation period. They will have to face that Ezekiel prophecy of chapters 37 and 38, Gog and Magog, and the time when the coalition will come against Israel, and many of them will be slain. They still have to go through Jacob's trouble, but God will save them, and a remnant will be saved. A remnant of people in America still love God. There are righteous people who in America who will never forsake God, who will always worship God. But we as a nation, more people could be saved. More people could come to God if we would do what's right. But we must serve God. We cannot turn away from God. If we do what Israel did, we will have to face the same judgment that they faced. That great tribulation. Nobody wants to go there. Nobody needs to be there, but there will be many there. The Lord has a remedy. He has a plan that we can be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Father and God, thank you for the opportunity to present this word from 1 and 2 Kings. Help us, Lord, to realize that we have to be united, not in a political party, not in worldly policies. We have to be united, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Jesus, you prayed that we would be one. And help us to fulfill that prayer that we would be one. The only way we can be one, and people say all the time, we're in this thing together. No, we're not. If we don't serve the same God, if we're not going the same way, if we don't believe that abortion and homosexuality are sins against God and abominations in the sight of God, we're not going the same way. Help us to realize that the only way we can be united is to be united under Christ and under God. Thank you, Jesus, for praying that we would be one, even as you are one. And I pray today that many would come to this knowledge of salvation by knowing you as Savior and Lord. We ask this, Lord, in your name, Jesus. Amen. The United Kingdom Divided has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.